Sheryl Crow, All I Want to Do, on Cheshire's Salt 106.9. Thursday morning, our legal hour with Chris from Thornycroft Solicitors. And we have another question. My husband and I moved to Australia 10 years ago and we married there at the beginning of 2015. When we separated last summer, we both moved back here. I may well return to Australia to be with a new partner, but before that, can we get divorced in England? We were born here but emigrated to Australia to try and make a new life for ourselves. Obviously, this has not worked, but we do not want to take divorce proceedings in Australia as I assume that would be expensive.
Right. Well, I don't know whether it's expensive to get divorced in Australia. I often say that despite years of training, one of the things I realised quite soon after qualifying is that all my years qualified me to advise on the law of England and Wales. If I'd been a dentist, I could have gone and, you know, pulled teeth in somewhere exotic, but unfortunately I'm stuck with England and Wales. Can't even advise on Scottish or Northern Ireland.
Right, wow.
Anyway, assuming that we want to do it here... jurisdiction is the lawyer's phrase for it. Does the court have power to dissolve this divorce? And I would think probably yes. It's a concept called, firstly, habitual residence. So if you've had England and Wales as your home for the last 12 months, it gives the court power. There's also a fallback. There's something called domicile. This is like scraping the depths of my knowledge from university days, which is, you know, a year or two ago, because it doesn't happen very often, but domicile is kind of the concept of where you think you have your home, where you were born and where you would think your roots are. And obviously they're both from this country, so I would think yes. Just to expand it a little bit, they've not been apart that long, just over a year, so they can't have a no-fault divorce. It's got to be one that's based on fault if they want to do it now, unless they want to wait another year. So it'd have to be based on one of them having formed a new relationship or behaved unreasonably. And that's not going to change for a while. I mean, again, just going a bit further, one thing that the election has caused is that the law that was going through to hopefully give no-fault divorce the green light at long last, that's very much under doubt now. But that's a shame. Anyway, that's another story. So yes, I would think if it can get divorced here, one of them will have to be the bad guy, as it were. That's the problem with the current system. So
okay. Yeah, it's interesting though, because I was going to ask you about the no fault, because I heard it was coming in.
That and cohabitation reform is another thing that's kind of gone on the back burner. This week, actually, the organisation that most family lawyers belong to, it's called Resolution First of Family Law. It's this, those of us who think you should have a kind of a non-aggressive sort of approach to it, a constructive approach to it. Doesn't mean to say that you don't look after your client, but you don't slag the other party off. To put it very, very crudely, you're trying to encourage people to remember that, you know, once the dust has settled, they're still going to have to parent. And it's their week, but usually this time of the year, where they have a kind of campaign. It's rather been overshadowed by the election, but one of the campaigns, Fairness for Families, as it's called, and one aspect of that is the no-fault divorce bit and the idea of giving people who live together outside marriage greater protection, so they're not just relying on old property law and things like that. And you know, if you're looking after your partner's children and can't work because of it, your partner might have to maintain you as if you were married, which isn't the case if you're unmarried. All sorts of you know, discrimination, some would call it, against people who live together. But I say all that's kind of gone onto the back burner until we sort out who's going to win the election, and then you know, certain parties are saying yes, they do this with divorce reform or whatever, but it remains to be seen. But it had taken an awful long time to get anywhere and get into Parliament, and then suddenly it seemed to be going at a rapid pace, and those of us, which is the majority, who think it's a good thing, were quite pleased. I may have said this to you when we discussed it when I was on last time. I'm torn, really, because, you know, it's better for people to have this no fault and not arguing about whose fault it was, because it really doesn't achieve anything. It's bitterness. But with me, who's, you know, I can see retirement not that long away, you know, it's a number of years yet, but, you know, and having practiced with this law throughout all my career, there's a bit of me, you know, curmudgeonly grey old person says, I don't really want it to change because I have to learn something new. But there we are. It would be better for people. But I say, it's a case of don't hold your breath, because it'll be a long time, I suspect, before these things come back onto the agenda again. Because like everything else, Brexit and all the rest of it is understandably taking precedence.
Absolutely. More from Chris. Don't forget, if you've got any questions at all, do get in touch. It's studio at silt1069.com. We'll do more after this. Harry Styles and Lights Up.